dot, right circle, now the slot, fires, he scores!
All things Bruins and the NHL. The Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, absolutely. This doesn't happen here, and it can't go on any further than this. You know, there's been times in my first couple of years where we've had one game like that, but we've always bounced back. So this is definitely unacceptable, and we got to look in the mirror and move forward, but recognize and learn from the past 2 days.
That's the Bruins' Brandon Carlo after last night's game. Unacceptable. It's a good word. 617-779-0985. We are here to take your calls as we move into hour number two of this week's Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. Ryan Johnston with Judd Surratt and Bob Beers. We also need to, as we do each week, give you a chance to pick up a little something. Caller number 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line right now at 617-931-0985. We'll score a $100 gift card for Sports Etc. Everything for hockey and more at 1303 Mass Ave in Arlington. Online at sportsetc.net, Boston's best hockey shop. So 617-931-0985 to pick up the gift card. And then, of course, 617-779-0985 if you'd rather talk to us. Before we get back into what's going on in the last couple of games, guys, let's go back to last weekend. You actually got a chance to travel and be there for the outdoor game in Lake Tahoe. It happened a little bit later than we originally expected. You traveled. It's you guys are still healthy as far as I know, so that's good.
I got a test to prove it.
What was the experience like as far as actually being one of the few human beings that got to see that in person who wasn't in a raft or a kayak or on a boat somewhere?
It was fantastic. I know that the first day didn't go as planned, and that was a little bit of a black eye and a little ugly there with trying to get the game in the afternoon, and for whatever reason, they blamed it on the sun. The clouds wouldn't cooperate, and then they had to come back and play that game late at night. But I was reading somewhere, Judd, I mean, it was everywhere, actually, the Bruins game broke records ratings.
It was the highest rated cable television broadcast in regular season game for the NHL since 2002.
I can tell you this. It was so we were right down on the glass. I mean, there weren't a lot of people there, obviously. There's a lot of people, you know, that work for the NHL. And, you know, you had your off-ice officials. But we were on the glass right next to where the Flyers came out onto the ice.
He had to close the door.
Before the second and third period, I had to get up and close the door. Nobody wanted to do that. So I guess that was the same thing down the other end. We were close enough to see, you know, the body language on the Flyers and how disappointed it was for them. But I can tell you this, on the first goal by Pastrnak, we were how many feet from the net, Judd?
40.
40 feet from that. We couldn't see it. The sun, we were looking directly into the sun. I don't know how Marchand made that pass. It was a great pass. But he was looking, trust me, because he was right in front of us, and we had the angle towards the net. He was looking directly into the sun. We couldn't see Carter Hart until there was maybe 5 minutes left in the first period. That's the first time we saw Carter Hart.
I think you have to go to the first intermission.
Yeah, he was 40 feet from us. It was like that. That was the sun that we were looking into. So I don't think Rask had to necessarily look into the sun from where he was because it was kind of at an angle. But it was funny for us because it was hard for us to see down the Bruins end in the first period. But
we couldn't see anywhere.
But we were there. That was okay. No complaints. We were there, and that was it was fantastic. It was a great setting, and it ended up turning out to be a fantastic event, which was in doubt the day before.
It was just spectacular. And just thinking about Saturday, what happened because of the sun and the time of game, that maybe one of the things that the National Hockey League and whoever the rights holder is in the future, when they're going to have one of these games, if they have it in a setting like this, and they may never have it in a setting like this ever again, that maybe they have to rethink when the game time is. Part of the problem with the ice
TV
on Saturday... Right. Part of the problem with the ice on Saturday was It was the fact that first, you're at altitude, and second, there was no structure. So you're not playing in a stadium of any kind. So the sun was always going to be on the ice if you were going to schedule it at that point in the day in that part of the country. So maybe that's something you want to rethink going forward, considering the rating you got when the game time changed for the Bruins when they played the Flyers on Sunday. So that said,
The ice was excellent for the Flyers Bruins game.
It was great.
And it was good. For anybody that stayed up to watch it,
better than the ice at Madison Square Garden last night.
Oh yeah, definitely, most definitely. I mean, you know, we had a close look at it. It held up really well. I mean, did you see anybody coming out during the commercial breaks to fix the ice against, you know, for the Bruins and Flyers? No, you saw it constantly with the with that first game in the first period. You didn't see it at night. When the Colorado and Vegas game, when they finally got going late at night, they didn't have, the ice was fantastic. So, you know, whatever the reason was, you know, you want to blame it on altitude or sun. I mean, they played a game in Dallas. I don't know how, they played a game in Washington where the sun was out. I don't know how, you know, it was a problem for Vegas and Colorado, but it was. And they did the best they could. And when the Bruins and Flyers took the ice, it was excellent.
But it was a dreamlike setting with the Sierras in the background, and the sun is starting to dip down, and you had the, you know, you have Lake Tahoe, and then you have people out in boats and kayaks.
I saw Judd take the polar plunge, you know, on Saturday. That was pretty good. He jumped in. And...
Cold! Just that setting. And what it looked like, where they put the rink, right on the golf course. I think that part of it was engineered terrifically by the National Hockey League. That walk to the rink from Harvey's over to the golf course was maybe about, you know, 5 to 7 minutes. And it's the other thing to think about, you know, when you're staging a game like that in the mountains is that conditions, if you're a skier, if you're in the mountains, conditions change quickly. In the morning when Beersy and I walked over to have some breakfast and check out the scene, it was overcast, snow flurries.
Judd was slipping and sliding all over the place. I thought he was going to go down.
Well, how about Steve Mayer from the National Hockey League? I think he suffered like a stress fracture.
He broke his leg. Yeah.
Because he took a digger. But the conditions changed radically from what they were at 9 a.m. to what they were when they tried to face off the game. The clouds and the snow went away, and it was bright sunshine. And then all of a sudden, everybody's falling all over the ice, and we've got to basically take an 8-hour intermission.
I love too, guys. I mean, as I'm sure you guys got a chance to see up close, you know, the Bruins getting into the spirit and, you know, dressing up like it was 1990 and, you know, guys really kind of getting into it. I mean, even Patrice Bergeron even went so far as to have a Walkman, you know, playing cassette tapes and everything.
Oh, and I love that the batteries ran out because It always ran out when you were working the cassette.
So, I don't know. Did I dress like that? I don't remember some of that.
That's what I was thinking about.
I'm guessing you probably didn't, but I know I did.
You dressed like that?
Back in 1990? Sure. I was a freshman in high school. I didn't know any better.
I don't know if I was working quite that. I know Bruce Cassidy said it looked like they raided his closet.
But it was, you know, that kind of, I love seeing them. We saw it, you know, a few years ago when they played at Notre Dame and they did the whole Peaky Blinders thing, which was phenomenal.
No, that's a bonding thing.
Yeah.
Now, you know, so that was fun, right? Now you're back to reality. Now they got to figure it out.
Crashing back hard. And I think one of the things that Beersy and I were talking about, and Beersy really pointed this out when we were heading into the game against the Islanders. Okay, what is this going to be like? You're coming off a terrific high in Lake Tahoe. There's a lot that goes into that event. You played unbelievably well. Now you got to fly cross country. You've got to adjust your body clock. The surroundings are going to be much less inspiring playing at the Nassau Coliseum versus outside on the shores of Lake Tahoe. And what is this going to be like? For 40 minutes, it was all right, and then things started to break free in that third period. But that was certainly an adjustment that the Bruins had to deal with coming back.
All right, let's get back into your phone calls here at 617-779-0985. Ryan, thanks for holding on. You're up on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Morning.
I know it was touched upon a little bit by an earlier caller. I had a couple points. The amount that David Pastrnak could hit is just unacceptable. And also, I know Marchand's a leader on the team, assistant captain, but he should not be the one that's engaging in the fisticuffs to try and lift the team. I feel like they've definitely lost some of the physicality with Chara leaving. I think Nick Ritchie needs to step up. Even though he's been having a good year scoring, he needs to be more of a physical presence. I like Frederick's game, but the last point that I have as well is just, where is Jake DeBrusk? It seems like repeat every couple weeks I call in, seeing where Jake DeBrusk's gone. I think that's a big issue because he's just been looking awful. I think that maybe Cassie should bench him for Kuhlman for a bit. And finally, Corrali, just not bringing a lot of energy to this game right now. I think that that fourth line was so good because it was a constant energy. They were able to pin the puck deep, and they were like hornets down there, just constantly bothering the defenseman. And that's just not happening this year. I also lump Wagner into that. I just want to hear what you guys think about that. Have a nice day.
All right, thanks, Ryan. I mean, we've obviously been focusing a lot, guys, on the back end this morning and, you know, what they can do to try to shake things up there. You know, what do you do to try to shake things up, you know, with some of these other guys that Cassidy, you know, lumped into players that need to do more and be more noticeable night in and night out?
Yeah, I don't disagree with much of what was said there. I mean, you know, yeah, we already talked about, okay, I need to see a little bit more bite from Ritchie last night in a game like that, you know, especially in the first period. Especially in the first period. I think Marchand, I mean, Marchand went after Fox, you know, in the first shift. So that's not like, you know, and I know he stepped in there when Johnson kind of, I think it was Johnson. No, it was Lindgren, sorry. When Lindgren stepped up on Bergeron, that there was nothing dirty there about that. There was nothing wrong with that. But Lindgren was physical all night, you know, especially in the first period there on Pastrnak. So Marchand jumped in with him. About the same size. Lindgren's maybe a little bit bigger, but not much. So no problem with that at all. I needed to see a little bit more. I thought Frederick tried to get involved a lot last night. And we're just going by last night. You know, and it's not always about dropping the gloves. It's like we were saying earlier, you know, a couple of your top guys are getting bumped and hit like Pastrnak was. Okay. You know, free rein on a couple other guys, right? On some of the top guys from the Rangers. But we didn't see enough of that, I don't think, in that game. And I said before, it's not the reason they lost, but I would have liked to have seen a little bit more pushback from a few guys. As far as DeBrusk goes, yeah, we need to see it on a more consistent basis. You know, it's there in glimpses. And he should have more goals than he has because he's had some chances, and maybe that gets him going if he scores a couple goals. But right now he's struggling to find his game on a consistent basis. And you know, Bruce Cassidy talked about it after the game. You know, he mentioned guys by name. You know, it wasn't middle forwards or a couple defensemen. Like, he mentioned people by name, and you know, if that doesn't get your attention as a player, then shame on you. So we'll see how the reaction is after last night.
617-779-0985. Give us a ring here as we continue on the Shaws and Star Market Sports Hub Hockey Show.
The Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Shaws. Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on your home of the Bruins, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Come on. 98.5, The Sports Hub, the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. We'll talk with Billy Jaffe and go around the NHL with him coming up in the final half hour of the show today. Talk about the firing of Claude Julien up in Montreal this week. Some other things going on around the league as we move on here. But also, obviously, talking about the Bruins and what's been going on with them, especially over the last couple of games and having lost four of their last five. And, you know, we expected, guys, coming into this season that the season obviously is going to be different. And, you know, playing, as we mentioned earlier, an entire division schedule is something totally different. It should also not be lost that, you know, as great of a start that the Bruins got into or got out to, you know, now tied for the top of the division with Washington. The Islanders are a point back. Philly and Pittsburgh are 3 points back right now. There's only 3 points separating first from fifth place. And the difference between winning the division outright and being out of the playoffs is that tight. And I would expect that that's kind of how it's going to be as this season goes on. It seems like there's a clear delineation at this point between the top five teams in this division and the bottom three.
Yeah, it's also, you know, amount of games played too. You know, it's, I guess, Pittsburgh and Boston are even right now, and there's 3 points separating them. So, yeah, I mean, it's tightened up. There's no question, and they have had a good start. The one thing that they've had a bad stretch, no question about it, right? Lost four out of five. The last two games that they've lost have been ugly, at least the third period of the Islanders and you know, a portion of yesterday's game. But, you know, in the big picture right now, we've talked a lot. We focus a lot on the defense, right, Ryan? Mm-hmm. And they need to see what they have. I was asked the other day, should they make a trade? Well, it's still a little incomplete, right? We've seen good, we've seen bad, and you know, as you get closer to the deadline, you're still going to be in contention. They're good enough to be that because they can improve in a number of areas. But if they need to make that trade, you know, that's what they have to find out. They have to get these guys some playing time. They have to see what they have. They have to try to coach them up, you know, in Bruce Cassidy's words yesterday. And if they're not getting that proper response, then you're looking to, if you think that you're a Stanley Cup contender, now you're looking to make, you know, a couple of moves. And the deadline is, Judd, help me out here on the
7 weeks
date.
Away.
Yeah. So, you know, this is what they're trying to do right now, and trying to give these guys some valuable experience. And they're getting maybe pushed in a little bit quicker than you thought they would because a couple of the injuries, but you know, opportunity right now. You got two guys in your lineup on defense that are you got more than that, but you got with Vaakanainen and Zboril who are first round picks. Okay, you know, you've been in the American Hockey League for a couple of years now. Let's see what you've got in the NHL, and they're finding out that, you know, it's a man's league, and you gotta play like it. And this is an area. It's something that McAvoy figured out right away, and it's something that Carlo has figured out. He was a second-round pick, but it's something that he's figured out. And, you know, it's time for them to kind of seize the opportunity.
And one more caveat that I think we should add. Remember, there's an expansion draft that's coming up. Mm-hmm. So whatever deals Don Sweeney or any general manager is making could impact what they can protect and what they may lose to Seattle in the expansion draft. So I think we're going to see a lot of moves either made or not made with that in mind.
Just speaking about Vaakanainen specifically, a guy like that, as you mentioned, he's a first-round pick. He's played 3 games so far this year. He's played 10 games in his career in the NHL. You know, it's still a very small sample size as to what he can do. And you whether you're going to make a deal to help solidify the back end or not, you need more than that to figure out what this guy is capable of.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you can't make a snap decision when you've invested some years in this guy as to, oh, well, you know, he hasn't, you know, necessarily lived up to billing in the first 3 games of the year. We can't keep him back in there. You've got to give him the opportunity so that at least you know when it's time to make a decision whether you're making the right one or not.
No, no question. I mean, so his assets, right? What does he do well? He skates extremely well. It seems like he has a good stick, just from what I've seen. And if you know, I don't think he's going to be a huge offensive defenseman. I don't see that yet. Maybe he is. I don't know, but I don't see that from him. Same with Zboril. So somebody that can play 20 plus minutes a night, and you know, maybe chip in a little bit on the offense. We saw a great pass from Zboro the other day to Richie against against the Islanders. He was involved last night in one of the goals as well, right? Zboro was, I believe. But, you know, I don't see it. You know, he's playing second power play. It's okay. It's, you know, that's, I don't think that that's going to be his calling card. I think that both of these guys are going to be guys that if they last in the NHL and make an impact in the NHL, are going to be guys that can play 20 minutes and, you know, not mistake free, but, you know, few mistakes and give, you know, kind of in its minutes eater and move the puck. That's what I'm looking for from both of these guys. So I don't think either one of them are superstar, you know, got that written on their foreheads, but they can be guys that can contribute here moving forward.
And for defensemen, it clearly is going to take longer. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, the trickier part.
Well, certainly for Zboro, right? I mean, and right? He was picked just before Shabbat, who was a teammate of his, and Shabbat's playing for Ottawa and is looks like a, you know, a stud defenseman for years to come.
But that's the tricky part, I think, for the guys that are trying to evaluate what you have in some of these defensemen, that it's going to take a little bit longer to get a picture. I know they play different positions, but last year, if you walked Jack Hughes in New Jersey, who was the first overall pick, your takeaway from watching Jack Hughes that first season was he is not ready.
Right.
If you watch him this year, he's physically more mature, mentally more mature, and he's been a difference maker for the Devils. So the Bruins are not – these guys are going through their first year on the back end. So as Bruce Cassidy's talked about, we're going to have to live with some of these mistakes, and it's going to be a bumpy ride.
Now time for Who's Heating Up in the Ice, brought to you by Rodenheiser Home Services, over 90 years in business and a 100% customer service guarantee. Rodenheiser will get the job done right. Go to rodenheiser.com to learn more. Kind of slim pickings, guys. Is there anybody that you feel like is elevating their game or is about to?
Well, how about Brad Marchand for picking up his 300th goal the other night?
I like it.
I know it kind of got buried.
Or Bergie for Bergeron for passing Bobby Orr.
Yeah, that's pretty good company. You know, anytime you're mentioned around that name, I would take either one of those guys as, you know, and look, you know, that's often the case. You know, if this team takes a downturn, very rarely does that top line take any sort of significant downturn. They are as consistent as they come, and you know, not a surprise that they provided all the scoring in last night's game.
Oh, they struggled a little bit against the Islanders, right? Yep. And they bounced. You know, they had a couple goals last night, which was great to see. A nice pass from, beautiful pass from Pastrnak to Bergeron going to the net.
All right, we will talk with Billy Jaffe and get his thoughts on some things going on around the NHL coming up next here on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show.
This is the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Miss something?
This is a black and gold freight train.
Catch the Hockey Show podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and the Sports Hub app.
The Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Ryan Johnston, Judd Surratt, Bob Beers. And now we welcome in Billy Jaffe of Nesson. Joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline each week at this time to go around the NHL. Good morning, Billy.
Good morning. What's going on?
You guys, you already been up and at them today? You and Razor do a podcast this morning?
Oh, yeah. We got it out. We got it out. We cold brewed it last night, late last night. That game deserved a cold brew instead of a hot one, if you know what I mean. So we got it done late last night. We did. It's up and out. And the post-mortem, so to speak, on that one.
First and foremost, talking about some things going on around the league, the firing of Claude Julien this week in Montreal. Obviously, you know, they got out to a good start. They've been in a bit of a slump lately. What do you make of him getting let go at this point? Does it indicate how hot Marc Bergevin feels like his seat is right now?
Yes, it does. It caught me by surprise. I don't know if it caught you, Judd and Beersy, by surprise too.
Did me.
Not that it wouldn't surprise me if they had done it, let's say in March, just another week or two later, if they had kept losing. However, it leads to believe that Marc Bergevin has incredibly high expectations for this team's, or maybe hopes for this team's, that he really remodeled an awful lot in this past off season. And I question whether, you know, Bergevin felt that the veteran players, that there's an awful lot of on this team, were taking direction, were doing what Claude and his staff wanted. Like, not just Claude Julien, it was also Kirk Muller, the associate head coach. Remember, he was the one who stepped in and took over for Claude when Claude left because of the health issues that he had in the bubble. And this is a longtime Canadian coach in Muller, a highly respected guy, just like Claude is. But Bergevin said, I mean, this is a major, in my opinion, a major change, into a season, and the expectations are huge.
Well, with Claude in particular, and for any coach around the National Hockey League, goaltending makes you either smart or dumb. And Carey Price has a .313 goals against average and .888 save percentage. It's really hard because we haven't gotten a chance to see the Canadians. Maybe get a chance to watch him a little bit on television, but nobody makes a coach dumber than a bad goalie.
Well, and just watching the highlights the other night, just prior to Claude getting fired, forget who they were playing, Winnipeg maybe?
Yeah, it was Winnipeg.
And,
I thought.
I mean, some bad goals, some really bad goals allowed by Price in that one.
It's almost Beersy and Judd and ERG. Like, Price isn't focused. It's just like he's not the same. You know, when he's so good, he's so calm, and he's so, at least in my eyes, intimidating with how calm he is. In the, even during the frantic play, Carey Price is always so calm. Now he just kind of is there. I don't know. It doesn't have the same presence. Now, is that a coach thing? I don't know. Judd, point your point. We don't, we haven't seen them live, and I always want to see a team live. But people that I've spoken with and, you know, just watching the highlights as well, it seems like the Canadians are off. And it does seem like Bergevin knows that this is a big, big opportunity for his team. I thought they were always good. There, you know, people were talking 2-3 weeks into the season how this was the best team in the NHL. I didn't see that. You know, even though it's just 56 games, it's still a lot of games to be played. This is a good team. I don't know how good their division is. So let's also pump the brakes on, you know, some of the teams that they're playing. But when it's all said and done, I do think that they should make the playoffs, given that Ottawa, Vancouver, and in my eyes, Calgary are not good.
So when Claude Julien parted ways with the Bruins years ago, I think there was, you know, a lot of us who felt like, well, this is one of those coaches. He's not going to be unemployed very long. You know, he'll have a job the moment he wants one, and it turned out he didn't sit on the sidelines very long. He got the gig up in Montreal. Do you feel that way this time around? Is the shine a little bit off of Claude now? And are there questions at all about, you know, if Montreal feels like they were underachieving under Claude Julien, has the NHL kind of passed him by? Because there were people that thought that about him. Toward the end of his tenure here in Boston, that he hasn't really changed with the times in the updated NHL.
Well, he did try and change some things stylistically with this team over the last couple of years, playing a different way in the sense of faster, less 2-1 type of game, and getting involved in not track meets, but opening up a little bit. But I don't know. I mean, it's a good question because a guy like Mike Babcock has been held out. Now there's some other things that are associated with Babcock. So I'm not, but they're both legendary coaches of their generation, right? So are highly successful coaches of the same similar generation. So they're, you know, could he be out yet? Now he has, I believe it's 1 year, full year left on his deal. So if financially. I mean, whatever. He's fine. But
he also is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to guess too. But he has the luxury. The point of saying he also has the luxury, if he wants to stay out of here and wait for more opportunities to present themselves, which they will. There's no question after this pandemic shortened season, the coaching carousel will be, I think, wide open in a couple of places. He can afford himself that luxury, not to mention just Seattle. Could that be something? Who knows? Gerard Gallant seems like an obvious fit there, but I don't think it's not done for them. There's other coaches that could be available now, Claude Julien being one of them. But I look at other teams. I think Calgary. I think Vancouver. I question about Buffalo. What's going to happen there? Now, does Claude want to go to any? I don't know. But I do think that he still has a ton of respect. And, I do think, Ryan, the other thing is Montreal is given by a lot of outsiders a lot of, whoa, that's Montreal, different market type of mentality. And, you know, funny things happen with coaches in Montreal. So I think that I think that he can afford to wait. And I think the league will give him a little bit benefit of the doubt.
Well, usually, Billy, when one coach gets the axe, a number of teams follow, or a number of organizations follow with firing their coach. Who's on the hot seat right now?
Well, I look at a couple of teams. I mean, what's going to happen with Detroit and Jeff Blashill? I mean, they haven't made a move yet there, so maybe they're just waiting, riding this proverbial storm out, Beersy, right now. Nashville has not been successful. I know John Hines was recently hired there, but what's going to happen there? I know John Tortorella before the season was vote of confidence, but again, I wonder, like, they're now that malaise of mediocrity, and they had the trade made with Laine and Dubois. They're a 500 team. How long can they afford to go? I look at a few other teams out west, and, you know, I know San Jose, new coach, and I know I was going to Anaheim as well but that's not just a coach there, Judd. That's also their GM, and he's been there forever. You know, what's going to happen with that? Then I go back to those teams in the East I referred to. Buffalo could have something going on. I think DJ Smith is fine, but Vancouver and Travis Green, you know, they haven't reached a deal there yet. In Calgary, I know Ward was given a 2-year deal, so he's in year one of two. So if something doesn't happen, that team to me screams necessary change,
well,
both with players.
I'm biased on that because
I am too. I think
like
he's a
Jeff
wonderful
Ward
guy
a lot. And that ain't the coach.
I don't disagree about that. But what I'm saying, that team to me screams necessary change out there. I love Jeff Ward. But you know, and I know, those Canadian markets can be especially difficult.
And going back to Nashville, Billy, one of the things, you know, I know you mentioned John Hines. You want to talk about a guy who's been there forever, and that's David Poile. He's the only general manager they have ever had. That team is in disarray. So I don't think it's just the coach that they might move on from.
I couldn't agree more. That screams necessary change as well. So there seems to be, you know, I think there's going to be a fair amount of spots. I don't disagree with you about how teams, you know, follow each other's lead. I don't know if they'll do it this soon, though, unless one of them says, we want a guy like Claude Julien, and we need to get him now versus waiting later. I'm curious if, since Claude and Ryan, you brought this up, I don't remember how many days it was within his termination with the Bruins to that he got the Montreal job, but it was quick. It was very Bruce Boudreau-like, right? Bruce did that with Washington to Anaheim in like 22 hours or something years ago. I wonder if he'll take a little time, though, and pause. Especially having been in two heavy-duty hockey markets like Boston and then going back to the real fishbowl of Montreal, I wonder if he'll take a little time to pause, rest, and get – and let's not forget, he had the health scare. He looks fantastic now, too.
He'll take time until he gets a phone call.
Well, yeah,
then,
but
then you got to consider it. I mean, right? I mean, you say, oh, it might take some time, and then all of a sudden you know, a team is looking for somebody, and, you know, whoever it might be, right, Columbus or Buffalo calls and says, hey, you know, we're making a move and we want you to be our coach. I mean, he might not make $5 million like he did in Montreal, but
but he'll get the difference. They'll pay him some. He'll still get that remaining
five. I understand that, but I'm saying that, like, you know, the opportunity to, all right, you know, every coach that takes over, what a great opportunity this is, you know.
Well, that's my point though, Bob. That's a good point, but that's my counter to that is, will he look at that and say, wait, I've been in this league with legitimate good opportunities. Are these really good ones? Let's pick on Buffalo for a minute.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at Jeff Skinner's buyout possibilities.
Yeah, well, second year of that contract.
Yeah, I mean, oh, my God, what an albatross. I mean,
three straight healthy scratches.
I mean, changing gears, right? But what are they going to do with Jeff Skinner? He's been a healthy scratch for, is it three straight games?
Three straight, yeah.
Three games, yeah.
His buyout cost for the next 11 years, that's how long they would be paying him, would be almost $30 million.
He'd make Rick DiPietro look jealous, yeah, right. You know?
And Yashin.
And Yashin, exactly.
The cap hit would be almost $40 million for the next 11 years.
Jeez.
I know. So I asked.
What do they do with him?
I don't know, Bob. I have no idea. But Kevin Adams is supporting his coach now, Ralph Krueger, who I'm, by the way, very happy to see, seems to have recovered pretty well from COVID. It was tough there for, he said, for a week or so. But anyway, I don't know what they do, but Kevin Adams seems to be supporting his coach. And I know that the Pegulas have, the old more money than God type of thing. But do they just buy him out? What does that do to the team? And what does it do to a guy like Jack Eichel who wants to win so badly, so badly? And he's now been there. And can he see the light at the end of the tunnel? I can't imagine that he can, or others, that young guys there right now.
Well, we talked about Eichel, last week or the week before, Billy, about how, it feels like the entire time he's been there, people are just, they feel like that this is it. They're on the cusp, right? The Sabres are going to be coming, and it just has never, for one reason or another, materialized. And now you've got Skinner, who's this is a guy who had 40 goals a couple of years ago, and he's a 60-point a season guy.
And then he signed his contract.
Last year, 23 points, and this year, one assist and no goals in 14 games, and he's three straight games as a healthy scratch, and it's like...
How about Taylor Hall?
Yeah.
One goal. I know that it's a one-year deal, and he bet on himself.
Well,
at 8 mil, right?
It's a bad bet.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the cap ain't going up.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, so okay, here's a question rhetorically. Or not rhetorically. I'm asking, do you trade Hall right now? Because then I think they would get a lot more for him now.
Yes.
Hear me out. Because I think he would still tantalize if a good team said, geez, 1 year and he needs to get, I think they would probably get more than if he keeps this type of stretch going come trade deadline, which is 43 days away. And who knows about quarantine.
Especially if they eat some of the salary.
Exactly. Like take 2 mil, right? Or 3 mil off and bring it. And Judd and Beersy and RG, I can't imagine.
But you're not getting a lot for him.
But you'd get more now than you would then, right? Down the road, I think.
Yeah. I mean... It's harder to make the deals, right, because of the cap, but I think we might start seeing a few
sellers right now. I would think you have to. I mean, teams like Buffalo, look,
you're a third of the way into the season. You are what you are. I think for some teams, they've got it figured out right now. I'm looking at Anaheim to see what they do. I mean,
yep. San Jose, too.
You got to call Murph at the right time of day.
They're going to be active.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? But, I mean, what about L.A.? I know they're winning some. I get it. But are they real? I mean, if they just want to make the playoffs, they got some guys. I mean, can they move? I don't know all the no movements there. I got to ask you guys this. I thought about this, too, and forgive me if you talked about, I mean, I'm just playing the old armchair. Does Nick Jarmelson interest you guys at all? I know he's got the year left on his deal, and I believe it's a pretty good no trade. But does a defenseman like that interest you guys at all?
I haven't seen him play here in the last little while.
He would have interested me a few years ago. That's
absolutely.
For sure, yeah.
I mean, one of the premier shutdown left-handed defensemen in the National Hockey League,
yeah.
A guy that played through so much, willing to block shots, a very underrated skater. That's what made him such an adept checker. He's going to help somebody.
I know that he has a a no trade, or it's either a modified no trade or something on his deal. Maybe it's not lock stock, but you know, I mean, to me, a lot of people have talked about Ekholm from the Nashville Predators organization. And by the way, I think that he's a guy that I would look at as well. He has a year left on a deal, though, which would require more in return. But he's only 30 or maybe 31. But I think Nick Jarmelson, if you could figure out a way, and he's healthy, maybe the type of guy for a stretch run wouldn't be a bad type to get. I was just starting to look through opportunities after watching the team the last couple of nights, you know, and what they're doing or not doing.
Billy, just real quick before we wrap up, since the Bruins are playing the Rangers again tomorrow and did last night as well, what do you make of the situation with Artemi Panarin taking some time away from the team?
Oh, I mean, man. Is this thine bugged? I'm not sure if I want to go there. I don't know.
I mean, if people haven't heard this story, I mean, he's there, you know, accused back in Russia of an assault years ago, that the Rangers are sticking behind him very firmly that this is not what it would appear to be.
He's accused by former Bruin Andre Nazarov.
Exactly. Who has not been in the league coaching now for a little bit. And there's some comments. I did a little reading about it in the last few days. That, you know, Nazarov, who is a staunch supporter of the current people in charge in Russia.
He wants to get, doesn't matter. Yeah. He lives there.
He wants to get a job. And I mean, oh, my God, this is a Clancy-type novel, it almost sounds like. Panarin is obviously, there's obviously some concern. And he has requested, you know, a leave of absence, and the team granted it. He's staying, I'm told, at his house in the Connecticut area. And he has family back in Siberia that I'm sure he's concerned about with the way that this is coming up. And, you know, there was one interesting point that was brought up, Fells, as we wrap this up, that he was a nobody back when this happened, supposedly. And, the person said, well, why wouldn't they have said something about him then? Like, he wasn't a star then. Remember, this is a late bloomer type of guy. And, you know, the feeling is that there's no person that has come up to even, you know, say that this happened to me. This is a person, a coach, as you guys said, that is saying this. So it's odd. It's odd is the best way to describe it. And it could be potentially very uncomfortable. I would be uncomfortable if this was happening to me. I don't blame Panarin for taking a little time off.
Well, I mean, if you've heard some of the stories over the years about, you know, the Russian players, and whether it's the government or the Russian mob or, you know, what have you, you know, these guys come over here and they're worried about the safety of their family back home, like you were talking about. And that, you know, for a number of different reasons. And so if there's no truth to the allegation, you know, he's got some things to work out either way. So
enough of us talking about
absolutely.
It. Let's move on.
International relations, Billy.
We're big. Hey, this show is big. Overstreamed over in Russia, so we got to be
well. As long as they're not listening in the Kremlin, that'll be good. Thank you very much for the time, as always,
guys.
Billy.
Have a nice day. Yep.
And Judd and Bob will be listening for the early start tomorrow, noon face-off. Looking forward to it.
Sounds good.
All right, that'll do it for another edition of the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. We will be back with you next Saturday morning at 9. Stick around for Gasper and Murray.
The Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.